This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Trey Lintner. In the upcoming county election on April 7th, there are two propositions, both relating to preventing certain increases in the taxation of one's primary residence. Today I'm joined by Dr. David Yaskevich, professor and chair of the Department of Accounting, Economics, and Finance at Southeast Missouri State University. Welcome in, Dr. Yaskevich.
Thank you, Trey. Pleasure to be here.
To start, I wanted to read off Proposition A and then B to our listeners, as they will appear on the ballot. And then I was hoping you could break down the meaning of each proposition into layman's terms. So to start with Proposition A, on the ballot, it asks, shall the County of Cape Girardeau exempt senior citizens age 62 and older from increases in the property tax liability due on such senior citizens' primary residence? Now, I'd like to note that this item on the ballot is due to a petition by citizens in the community, whereas Proposition B was required to be included per a decision by the state legislator. Could you provide a general explanation of Proposition A?
Sure. If passed, it would provide a freeze on the property tax liability of senior citizens. As you mentioned, that'd be 62 years of age and older. So that would prevent future increases in that tax liability unless a home had renovations or improvements made to it, or there might be an increase in the tax levy voted on by voters in an area. Without those actions, it would freeze the tax liability moving forward for senior citizens. There would have to be an application completed on the part of senior citizens if this were to pass.
Where would that application be accessible most likely?
Well, likely the county tax assessor's office is where they'd want to look for that.
Now, for Proposition B, here's how it would be worded on the ballot. Shall the County of Cape Girardeau exempt eligible taxpayers from certain tax increases on eligible taxpayers' primary residence above the liability incurred during the initial credit year? Now, I'll admit, this one was a little more difficult for me to wrap my head around as a fairly new taxpayer. So could you explain this as well?
Sure. We would take the current assessed value of one's home and take that, and then moving forward, if this were to pass, the property tax liability for a primary residence could increase by no more than 5% a year, or the inflation rate based on the consumer price index, if it's higher than that, whichever is higher of the two, the inflation from CPI or 5%. Now, if we look back for the last 25 years, there's only been one year in the U.S. where the CPI, the inflation rate from it, has increased by more than 5%. There's been somewhere it's been close to it. The main point I'm making here is that 5% would likely be what we would see as the cap in most years, unless we had an unusually high inflation rate.
I was wondering if you had any information about how these types of laws have had an effect on communities that have put them into practice, and to see how that might be reflected on our county if enacted.
Whenever it comes to discussions on policy proposals related to property tax freezes or property tax limits on the growth and the liability, the classic example would be a policy implemented in California in the late 1970s, and it's referred to as Prop 13. And Prop 13 basically put limits on the growth rates of property taxes and some other limitations as well. Basically, it would limit the ability of local governments at the county or city level to raise revenue through the property tax. And it's been studied quite a bit by economists since the 1970s, since it's been implemented. I'm sure we could identify some pros and cons that some of your listeners might find appealing or not so appealing. If we were to look at California's experience, certainly it provided property tax relief. Now, it'd be uneven relief. If you think about a limit on the growth in your property tax liability, there might be some neighborhoods. And certainly, even if we're in Missouri, we could think of some regions in California that'd be really nice to live and probably have seen significant population growth over the years. Now, if they see a significant population growth because it's nice and sunny along the coast or for whatever reason, maybe movie stars live in that area, it's possibly the case and likely the case that the market value of one's home would rise by more than whatever that limit is on the growth rate, say 5% is what we're seeing proposed for Cape Girardeau County. If you live in those really attractive areas where there's been a hot real estate market, you're going to get property tax relief. It'd be less binding in areas that see weaker growth and where it's maybe not as attractive to work, maybe fewer job opportunities in those areas or not along that nice Pacific coast.
And now taking a closer look specifically at the Cape Girardeau area economy and trying to see the wider picture of our area's economy in the past couple years, I wanted to ask if you've noticed any notable impacts or changes and if you anticipate anything changing or any big impacts coming in the region.
You know, nothing really stands out as unique in Cape Girardeau compared to the rest of the country. Now, in terms of this April election season, Cape Girardeau County would be one of these 5% counties that have this question. It's also the case that Bollinger, Perry County, and Scott County, our neighboring county, our nearby counties, are also 5% counties. Well, they'll have that 5% question on a potential cap on the growth rate in property tax liabilities. Now, if I think of these counties I just mentioned, if I think of our region in general, if there's something I would really point out that, you know, we might want to say is unique compared to the Prop 13 example in California, I would say it's really not unusual at all for us to see the market value of a home rise by more than 5% in a year. That's not unusual. There might be some years where it doesn't, but it's not unusual. So this would likely be a binding measure if it were to be passed.
All right. And then lastly, I'd like to open the floor to you and ask if there's anything else you'd like to speak on relating either to these ballot items or about the CMO Department of Accounting, Economics, and Finance.
Well, there's some things I would want to add. We talked about some of the rationale behind why Prop 13 passed in California a few decades ago, why this measure is being presented to voters here in Missouri. I didn't really speak on the other side on the potential cautions or the potential downsides that might happen here. I'm not saying this would defeat any proposal. I'm just saying this is something that voters and policymakers would want to keep in mind. You know, we mentioned that property tax relief was a goal of such policies like this. Now, there's a double-edged sword here. Property tax relief, when effective, it reduces tax revenue. Mm-hmm. There might be other constituents who like the services that local governments provide, such as local schools, like local fire departments, your sheriff's department, whatever services that reflect or use property tax revenue. It might be difficult to maintain the same funding over time to those entities. In addition, if there's limitations on local government's ability to raise funds through the property tax, well, then going back to California's experience, it wouldn't be unusual to expect they might look for other sources of revenue, maybe fees, maybe the sales tax. At the same time, the state government is looking at maybe a shift more towards the sales tax, more to be discussed on that. Something that economists have really put a lot of attention to with property tax freezes or freezes on the growth rates of them have been, are there any distortions or any impacts on housing markets? Because if we think about it, if my property tax liability is not going to grow at the same pace as its market value would grow, well, then there's some, you know, implicit subsidy going towards me. I might not see the actual dollars being shifted towards me, but I have some artificially cheaper cost of housing because of this policy compared to someone who might be a new resident moving in for the first time and would then have to pay the market value and would have that market value be reflected in their assessed property tax liability. So there could be this uneven burden where if you live in an area for a long-time homeowner in, say, Cape Girardeau County, over time, you might have a lower tax liability than someone who moved in recently. There could be arguments for and against that, depending on our own views on community development and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's something that economists look at. It's called a lock-in effect. Is there a tax incentive for residents to stay in their existing homes for longer? And does it result in a relatively higher tax burden for those who are new residents? So all interesting economic topics. So regardless of the outcome of the April election, there'll be something for economists and other academics to study here in Missouri.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. It's wonderful to see both sides of that. Thanks for coming in to speak with me today.
Oh, pleasure was mine. Thank you.
This is Trey Lintner, and you've been listening to KRCU's Going Public. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.